Welcome into the post-game podcast. We are back in New York City, where Xavier has just beat Georgetown 65-63. And Dan, as our good partner Brian Snow has always said, 100 out of 100.
The Oracle of Broad Ripple. He is. He never fails.
He really doesn't.
I mean, obviously, he called this one. He certainly knew that Xavier would build a 20-21 point lead in the second half and then completely self-destruct and have to sort of cling to a win by their fingernails at the very end. But they won, and they live to survive and play tonight against Villanova in the Big East Championship game.
Two quick things. One, to me, this game was the exact opposite of last night.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of playing really terribly and then making some winning plays in the final minutes to win, they played really, really well and then made some terrible, well, missed free throws, basically, in the minutes. Didn't make winning plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's to put it away. Thing about when things went off the rails, it wasn't because Xavier was turning the ball over. They had a couple turnovers during that period, but not a percentage that would be out of the ordinary.
No.
They didn't take bad shots. They just missed foul shots, and they missed them over and over, front ends. I mean, D. Davis missing two foul shots on a trip. I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal, and they went from being up 21 at the 8-minute mark to being up 10 at the 6-minute mark, and then to a 5-point game at the 4-minute mark, and then clinging to a 1-point lead several times in the last minute. But it was all foul shooting. It was all foul shooting.
Well, that's the interesting thing. You start thinking back, and you're like, man, this team really self-destructed. And then you're like, wait a second. They took care of the ball. They got in the situation they wanted, which was Georgetown fouling them and putting out the free throw line, which Georgetown started doing pretty early in the game, quite honestly. And then they went 14 of 24 in the second half from the free throw line. So basically, yeah, you're right. They weren't taking bad shots because they weren't getting shots. Yeah, they were going to the free throw line.
And that statistic ignores the two or three front ends they missed.
Right. So it could have been an extra, six free throws that they didn't shoot.
And then also Georgetown brings in Isaiah Copeland, who is sort of the X factor. Isaac Copeland, whatever. I don't know who he is.
No, you're so good. Right.
And he was fantastic in the second half. He gave them a spark. It was similar to what we talked about with Milliken for Creighton.
Absolutely.
A guy that could create a shot that sort of was somebody that probably was not on the scouting report. And he did a wonderful job in the second half, and Georgetown hauled themselves back into the game. But I think the key thing is, let's not overlook the 20 minutes from when Xavier was down 19-11 at the 14-minute mark in the first half to when they were up 20 points at the 12-minute mark in the second half, when they played their best basketball the whole season.
And I don't disagree with that. That's the thing. I watched this game tonight, and that Xavier team that we saw for a stretch there through basically, I mean, like you said, the stretch basically you just named, they had a 15-20 minute stretch of basketball where they were just outstanding in every facet. I mean, their ball movement, their defense, their toughness on the glass, all of that really impressed me. So here's my second point that I was going to bring up at the top of the podcast. Is that I'm as a Xavier fan, this is why I like having you on this podcast.
Mm.
Is this one of the better feelings as a Xavier fan going to? To me, the concept of Xavier being in a Saturday night finals at Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament is something that literally was unfathomable 2 years ago. I didn't even want to think about it. If you remember these podcasts, I rejected the notion of the conferences shifting. I didn't even want to talk about it because I didn't think it would ever happen. And now Xavier's playing at Madison Square Garden against Villanova for a Big East title.
Rick, 22 years ago, my dad and I drove from Cincinnati up to Dayton to the Nutter Center and watched Xavier lose on a last-second shot to Wright State in the first round of the MCC tournament. And if you'd have told me then that this would happen, I'd have told you were out of your goddamned mind. So the fact that they're playing Villanova tonight in a Big East final is, yeah, I mean, you say 2 years ago. I think back to when I was a kid and they were playing Brooklyn College and LIU.
Right.
And New Hampshire and whoever they could get, or Loyola Maryland, whoever they could get to come to the gardens. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But to me, that's what the 2 years thing is what makes it even interesting, because like Yeah, back then when they were in the MCC or when they were playing at Schmidt Fieldhouse, it's like, yeah, of course this would be hard to fathom. But 2 years ago, they were a nationally respected program, and I still didn't think there was any chance anything like this would happen. And now here we are. To me, if I'm a fan, this is just a night where it would feel pretty much as good as anything that's happened over the last few years in Xavier basketball. And obviously, you have some big tournament moments to go back to, not too far back, so those might outweigh it. But this is a pretty great night for Xavier fans, I would suspect.
Let's talk about that Villanova-Providence game, because that turned real interesting toward the end.
It did, and we actually had a question. And I don't know if you want to start with this, but someone did bring up, they wanted our opinion on the ending of that game, where Ryan Arcidiacono the refs called a foul for him, and he went to the line and won the game at the free throw line. To me, it was a brutal call. There was no contact.
It was incredibly harsh on Providence. It really was.
And they didn't deserve that after the way they played.
No. I mean, the fight back they had in the second half to get back into that game, and then to get it tied and to be in that position at that point, it was brutal. Brutal.
Here's one of the things about that situation, though, that is tough for me, because I'm a big supporter of you call the game the same way, whether there's 1 second left or there's 20 minutes left in the half.
And Remy Abel probably agrees.
Right.
At that basketball court.
Yeah. Against St. John's. Right. Yeah. And to me, I'm fine with them calling a foul if it's a foul.
Yeah.
But then you see the replay of that so many times, and yes, it's happening quick for the refs, but it's like, at the same time, if it's that questionable where there's so little contact, let them decide it. Let them make the play. And it's tough for me because I go back and forth on that part of it, which is I want them to call fouls if they see a foul. But at the same time, how did you see a foul there? I didn't see one at all.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And I think the thing that happened in that game is LaDante Henton did not have sort of a vintage LaDante Henton game. He missed a lot of looks in the first half, especially, that usually he buries. And that's why Providence built it. They dug themselves a little bit of a hole. But, I mean, you just have to have so much respect for Ed Cooley and the way that program just grinds and grinds and grinds. And Chris Dunn is just such a wonderful talent. I mean, Providence is dead. It's tough to dislike the Providence program at this point.
Well, they've had just such exciting players the last few years. I mean, whether it was Bryce Cotton and Henton last year.
Or Kadeem Batts.
Kadeem Batts was great fun to watch. This year, though, Henton and Dunn have been almost just as much fun to watch. I mean, yeah. Dunn was great today. We mentioned that multiple times. So, yeah, I thought that Villanova-Providence game was really fun. Let's get into the Xavier game, a little bit about the specifics of the guys who played. And to me, there's two guys that stuck out to me. The first, Matt Stainbrook. And not because this was such an abnormal performance for him. He finished with 20 points, 9 rebounds, no assists, which was kind of shocking. And he was 8 of 13 from the field. Again, a good performance, not necessarily one of his best performances. But the big thing to me was, we talked so much about him having to bounce back on short rest. And last year that looked like such an issue for him. And maybe he was hurt. But tonight, he looked like himself. He didn't look like a guy who wasn't ready to play. He ended up playing 31 minutes after playing 34 minutes last night, and I didn't think he was dead at the end of the game. I thought he looked okay.
Matt could have taken 25 shots today, and I'd have been happy with that.
Yeah.
He was so efficient, and especially when he got Smith in foul trouble, he was just dominant. And that's one of the problems I think Xavier had in the second half when Georgetown made their run, was that Georgetown tried to heat up the game. They brought the full court press. They had D kind of trapped. They got into situations where Trayvon was bringing the ball across midcourt or Remy was bringing the ball across midcourt, and they weren't getting into their system where they get the ball to Matt and let him make decisions from the low post. And that, I think, was the biggest problem for Xavier, other than obviously the foul shooting, which we've already hit on. But
I think that's part of why they couldn't get it in, because quite honestly, for the last at least 6 or 7 minutes, Providence, Georgetown, rather, I'm sorry, mixing up all the Big East teams here, Georgetown was fouling more possessions than they weren't, because it wasn't just end of the game foul situations where you're scrambling to get back in it. It was early in that there Xavier was in the bonus and they were missing the front ends of the one-on-ones like you talked about when they were just bumping them on the press and things. So you absolutely hit the nail on the head. Georgetown picked up that press and it changed the game because Xavier missed free throws, and it also changed the game because it did push Xavier out a little bit more and kept them from just pounding the ball into the side and playing really slow.
When you are thinking about a game in mid-March, I guess my thing is, if Xavier had a collapse like that where they almost blew a 21-point lead in mid-November, it would concern me. Mm. But at this point, it's just like, who cares?
Yeah, survive in advance, right?
Yeah.
And I saw that on the message board, and I couldn't agree with that more. Okay, so the second guy that really stuck out to me tonight, James Farr. And James Farr finished with 1 point, 6 rebounds in 20 minutes. Only attempted one shot. This goes back to what I've been saying about James Farr. To me, he has figured out basically, you know what his role is? It's the guy we saw at the Thirsty Fan tonight after the game. He's become Eric Stanger for this team. He's become a guy who comes in with
Andrew Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. He comes in completely selfless. He doesn't care about getting his shots. He'll shoot an open three if he gets one. If he bricks it terribly like he did last night or today he misses a shot, he won't shoot again. But you know what he will do? Play his ass off on both ends of the court, try to block any shots that come into the paint, and rebound. And not just rebound, but be an elite rebounder. I asked Chris Mack about him after the game. He had nothing but praise for James, and he said, you know, it's tough when you think you're supposed to be a bigger part of the offense, or you think you're supposed to play more minutes when you're a junior, and you're not getting that opportunity. It's tough. And I think Chris said, you know, he's so proud of the way that James has just taken that approach and had great body language, come to practice every day, ready to work. I mean, he's basically become a real lunch pail type of kid and brings his hard hat to practice every day and just grinds it out.
Sort of a coach's son type, would you say?
I don't know if his dad actually coaches, but I could see him being a coach's son.
How's his pad level?
Impeccable.
Okay. Let's talk about the post-game press conference, because Chris absolutely ethered it was a New York columnist, but somebody asked him the question basically about Xavier, saying, you guys have won some games, you've lost some bad games. Today you were good for 30 minutes, which is not really true. I mean, I think Xavier was good for about 28 minutes.
Yeah.
But you were garbage the last six. Is this
team hard to figure out?
Enigmatic, and Chris said, no, next question.
Looks at him, goes, no. Turns his head, next question. Phenomenal.
What did you, like, I detected during that post-game press conference a certain amount of, I don't want to say triumphalism from Chris, but, like, he felt vindicated, I think, with the way the team has played the last two nights.
I think
he should be.
Vindicated was much more appropriate than the word I was going to use. If we want to go cliche, there was a lot of swagger, I think, in the press conference from Chris. It was kind of like, hey, all you bastards who have been talking about us struggling and us not getting the job and us not winning close games, what do you want to say about the last two nights?
Yeah.
And what do you want to say about us playing Villanova in the finals? And what do you want to say about us being in the Big East Championship tomorrow night? Because that's where we are. And so you can write your column tonight about how we're Heckle and Jai, or Jekyll and Hyde, and how we struggle to close games out. But at the end of the day, who's playing tomorrow? Villanova and us. And now Xavier's probably looking at something like a 7 seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe even better.
Yeah.
So really, who has the last laugh? And I think that's basically what Chris was saying. Chris also had a nice comment when someone asked him about what the biggest difference between Xavier and Villanova was. He said, well, their coach dresses a hell of a lot nicer than I do. And to which Andy Mack just started giggling in the back of the press room. And Chris shot back at him, what are you laughing at? Dead serious.
He's right, but
yeah,
anyway,
that's fair.
You look at the challenge that Villanova presents, and I mean, the thing that just that sticks out for me is they just have so many shooters.
And that's the tough thing with Xavier, right? Because like we've been watching this team for the whole season now, and all year we've been talking about their inability to defend the 3-point line. And while they've made strides defensively without question, you look at where they're at when it comes to defending the 3-point line, and they're 212th in the nation, 203rd in the nation in 3-point field goal percentage defensively. So that's still something they're going to struggle with. Any team that can really spread you out and play with 4 perimeter players is something that they just struggle to cover that much ground and recover.
If you're Chris Mack, do you go with a too big lineup in the hopes that you can impose your will offensively, or do you just have to react to what Jay Wright does and play four out, one in?
To me, I mean, you can start with two bigs because he's going to start Pinkston and Ochefu. But once he starts going to the smaller guys, I mean, that's what's hurt Xavier in the past is when they start playing Hart and Jenkins at the four. And you've got to adjust. So whether that means Xavier has to go smaller or they have to change up what they're doing defensively to combat that, I don't know. But I would think that they'll go smaller. I would think Trayvon will play a lot of four. I would think Jalen will play a lot of five. And, you know, we were talking about during this Georgetown game, like, Xavier had that 22-point lead. You start thinking, should they be resting Matt? Well, clearly that wasn't the case since they almost gave up the lead. But if they should have been, did it matter for this next game? Because is Matt really a big factor against Villanova? I don't know that he is, but with the way he's been playing, I think you've got to try.
I don't think Xavier can be successful without Matt Steinberg playing a part. I think at this point he's such an integral factor in everything they do offensively that if Xavier's going to win the game, Matt Steinberg's going to have a big game.
How much faith do you have in him coming back a third night in a row and being effective against a Villanova team?
Not much, but honestly, I think Villanova is a terrible matchup for Xavier. I think and we saw it, you know, they played about as well as they could for the first 28 minutes in Cincinnati, and they built a, you know, 8-9 point lead. And then at some point, the levee broke. And I think that's what's going to happen tonight, too. But, you know, let's not lose the forest for the trees. I mean, what Xavier's done in this Big East tournament has been tremendous. And to get two wins over two teams of the caliber of Butler and Georgetown is massive. I mean, there are years, there are successful years of Xavier basketball where they never got even one win as good as Georgetown and Butler. And they got two in the last 26 hours.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to remember. It's just that this has been a great tournament. This is going to be fun either way, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, I think, for the Xavier team. If you look at what has to happen for them to win this game, I think it's simple. They need what happened tonight to happen to Villanova offensively instead of what happened two nights ago against Marquette, which is they were 17 of 29 from three against Marquette. If they do that, Xavier has no shot. But tonight, 7 of 23, shot 30%. If that happens, Xavier's Providence. I mean, Xavier is a very similar team to Providence in terms of how they match up with Villanova, I think, defensively. So I think as long as Villanova doesn't light it up from three, I think Xavier can stay in this game and have a shot to win it at the end. Now, can they beat Villanova with a shot to win it at the end? Probably not. But either way, I think they can play it similar to how Providence played it tonight, which is a close game.
Okay. I think that ties it up in a nice bow. We will talk to you after tomorrow night's final at Madison Square Garden. Rick, any last comments?
I will say one more comment. I think after tonight, I have a lot more confidence in Greg Christopher as an athletic director.
Fair enough.
That's it. That's all I got. Okay. That's where I'll leave that.
Okay.